Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in, and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. This is the Ideal Network Radio Show with Darlene Sartori, and I have her muted out because she had, I think it's a great-great-granddaughter, who was being picked up by her son or grandson. I don't know. There's so many generations in the Darlene Sartori family, I kind of get messed up. But it was kind of cute because as they were picking her up, I could hear the little baby in the background and, you know, saying hi to the daddy. And I am sitting here in my home office all alone, meaning like my kids are all grown up. And I just said, you know, I got to figure this out. You know, because this is just for me, just a little personal note. We're giving Darlene a little bit of time to recover. Just a personal note, this is my first Thanksgiving ever where we'll be alone, like me and my wife. My kids grew up. Everything's fine. The one moved to Colorado, another moved to South Carolina. My daughter is in Marine boot camp as we speak right now in Parris Island. And I don't know what they're going to be doing, but they're going to be probably kicking her butt over at Marine boot camp on Thanksgiving. So the reality is this is the very first time my wife and I are celebrating Thanksgiving all by ourselves. And it really gives me a certain level of perspective of I'm going to term it a life account. Everybody's got a bank account maybe. You know, everybody's got stuff to figure out. But one of these days I'm going to figure out the calculations to a life account. Because I remember, like, when my daughter was young and she sounded like that little girl, which, by the way, she wouldn't sound like that her now, even if I asked her to sound like that. But you realize that you have a limited number of those days. So, and then they're gone, and you can't recover from them because they grow up, right? So little babies right now, probably less than two, got that cute little baby sound voice when she's seeing her dad. And there's something I think I'm going to call a life account. So, thanks to Darlene, where she usually gets into some pretty deep thought when we're here on Building Fortunes Radio. I'm sure she's going to say something about Thanksgiving as we get started. But it was really kind of neat and kind of cute. Now, there's a certain part of the sadness, if you will, when I hear those things, I'm like, oh, shoot, I remember when. But I already had mine. You know what I mean? Like, I already had mine. So I got to be grateful for the ones that I had because they happened. But if you knew going into it that you only had X amount of those, which I was very conscious of when I was raising my children, it's really kind of interesting. So I want to say thank you to Darlene Sartori for allowing me to hear a little baby. Super duper excited that she's being picked up by her dad in the Darlene Sartori, I'm going to call it the Darlene Sartori commune. So here we go, Darlene, I'm unmuting you and you're probably back and ready to roll.
Yep, I am. Am I hearing okay?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't talking to a muted phone like I was a second ago.
You know, you're doing just great.
So yeah, that was I love working from our home offices. And, you know, I am actually at the office in town right now. So this is kind of my second office. Actually, my third office. I got two offices out in the country, and I'm trying to scale that back to making it one office and then moving parts of that into town. And so I can be here more often to meet with people, especially in the wintertime when people don't specifically like to drive out into the country. And of course, we had our little snowstorm last week or so, and that was the coldest. We set records, 13 was our low. So, you know, tomorrow it's going to be Thanksgiving, and I'm just going to be so grateful, this attitude of gratitude. Today it was extremely windy, and tomorrow it's supposed to be better. So there's going to be some people, though, that are still having very slick roads they're dealing with and et cetera. So this kind of the time of the year, you know, we get out and we do the best we can to meet up with family. And like you were saying, it's like empty nest time. So what we have done in our family is we go to, we used to do it out in the country, and we switched it over to my youngest daughter's place because she has a an area that is quite large and has been kept as we used to have our country home set up with a kitchen downstairs, pool table, ping pong table, that kind of stuff. And so it's much more homey to do that. So we just say anybody that's, you know, family, friends, welcome to join us at Val's and have her be the host. And so I get to step back and be the second generation. Well, second, third generation. Actually, we have four generations now alive in our family. And I did get a call this week that my the last of the generation that's above me, which would be my mother's sister, is not doing well. And so we're hoping to get to see her before her time comes to graduate from the planet. So that will leave me and a couple of the other cousins as the patriarchs and matriarchs. And we had a gathering on October the 5th in Delphi to celebrate Tom Willis's passing. And we had a really wonderful time of celebrating his life. And as we went into the correcting time, because our correcting time actually started in August of this year on a serious scale. And so that is kind of the level of gratitude, the attitude of gratitude that we go into the Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Is last week I kicked off this correcting time series that I'm going to be doing. And each week over the next few weeks, I will be picking a topic of areas for us to address and cover what needs to be addressed as priorities that we see. Now, last week, one of the areas that I didn't cover, it was actually November the 20th, and that was actually the anniversary of the Mexican Revolution. And so those, I do apologize to our neighbors to the south that I did not bring that forward as part of the area of understanding that many times we have revolutions, we have things that happen to that bring us to realizing that what is going on is not what we the people desire to have. And so sometimes they turn out to be a good revolution and sometimes they don't. So as we go through history, one of the things that we'll be doing over the next period of weeks will be going back through what has happened to America over a period of time since our founding. And remember that we are now in a time tomorrow where we'll be celebrating the Thanksgiving Day. And so if you've not paid attention, that was back and began officially kind of saying a gathering between the colonists and the Native Americans in 1621. And it was actually, it says it occurred on Thursday. It occurs this year on Thursday of the 28th of November. But it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln's proclamation that he actually set it up as November, and so that would have been in 1863. So how many times did they actually have a Thanksgiving feast between 1621 and 1863 before it became a time that was celebrated by proclamation of making it a national Thanksgiving Day for the United States of America. And that was in the midst of the Civil War. And most people don't stop and think about these kind of things that went on that brought about this need for us to have a declaration of actually saying we need to have a Thanksgiving Day that we set aside to actually remember all of the things that we have to be grateful for. And we bring together normally in our homes, we usually bring in carry-on dinners. You know, we share. Some people have their favorite thing they make. I usually bring sweet potatoes because we raise our own sweet potatoes. And so that's one of the things that other people don't always have fresh sweet potatoes. Well, guess what? This year I didn't raise sweet potatoes. Well, actually, I did plant some, but they didn't get harvested before the freeze came. And so guess what? They'll get canned ones or they'll get ones that someone else raised. Because this last 2 years have been way too difficult for me to even think about putting a garden out. So as we're thinking about our families and our changes of our lives, we have to be able to realize that many times we're in a correcting time and adjusting time that needs to be done. And so that's what's happening on this century. And the second series in our correcting time actually is about a correcting time in our faiths, our religions, our churches, our temples, our tabernacles. And it's all about restoring the faith and message of Jesus and the other leaders that have been very much spiritual, the spiritual part of ourself. And so instead of in the United States where we have many denominations of the Christian religion, they are teaching more the religion about Jesus than they are actually teaching the religion of Jesus. And you've heard me talk about this over a period of time that I wanted to bring it forth as a part of the gratitude celebration, because one of the areas that I'm extremely grateful for is that sometimes we get epic revelations on our planet as well as private revelations. And the correcting time that we do often in our individual lives are all about the consequences of our actions. So we have causes and consequences. So this is why I always is talking about creating journals. Why are we doing what we're doing now? Is it something that truly is life empowering, or is it death empowering? Is it love empowering or hate empowering? Is it, you know, the good things that we would like to think, you know, of liberty instead of slavery, laughter instead of sadness? So what are the good things that you look at for this time of Thanksgiving that you're extremely grateful for? And one of the areas that I'm extremely grateful for, of course, is being able to gather with our families and our various areas. Most of our family is in Indiana. Some are in Illinois. And, of course, Peter mentioned his daughter is at Paris Island. Well, guess what? I just have a grandson that just left Paris Island and then went to Carolina and then is now in Florida. And so I carry his picture on my notebook. I got an 8x10 picture that of him in his Marine uniform. And so I carry Logan with me as my protector, and remembering that he is not with us, but I will talk with him tomorrow on the telephone while we are gathering, so he can talk with others around the gathering, because this will be the first year in 18 years that he hasn't been one of our family gatherings. So this is going to be a tough time for him to get through, as it is others that are there doing this first time away from their families. And so I would please ask that you remember those who are serving away from their families to give us protection for the liberties and freedoms that we have. And if that is the greatest gratitude that we can have, is that ability to have a safe place in order to live in ideal conditions. Even if they aren't completely ideal for us, we're headed in that direction. So if we stop and think about keeping an attitude, gratitude journal, it'll help us to overcome some of the challenges that we're dealing with as we begin making corrections. So one of the areas that this week that I will be addressing with our team is music and learning about music frequencies and harmony. I had hoped to have a little more of a preparation to do that this week, but unfortunately I did not get the research and background put together. I wanted Jared to do remember last week I introduced that we have a new gentleman, Jared's with us, and fortunately he is a musician, aren't you? I brought the keyboards in. There's a piano here, and I brought our new keyboard in, and I brought the guitar in today. So slowly I'm unpacking and bringing things into the main office here so that he can begin doing some lessons on music. One of the areas that we do not have in our community, and this is what we are doing with our correcting time, is encouraging each individual to look around their community and what is it that your community needs but it doesn't have that you can participate in bringing about having ideal conditions in which our children can grow up in and our elders can be able to gratefully enjoy the young ones in their lives. And so one of the areas we do not have in the Princeton, Indiana area is a store for buying instruments or music. We have to go to Evansville, which is, of course, it's not that far. It's only 35 miles, so yeah, okay. But I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a place for just going down to the local area and be able to support having a place where children can take lessons, can learn how to play with different instruments. And I do know that we do have a small school music departments, but they are not adequate to survive, to provide the needs of our children and our families. So I would like to see the community come together to support the possibility of buying this church that's across the corner from us and turning that into a music academy, as well as learning some of the other things that we can help the young people learn some of the crafts that are not being taught. Some ways that we can bring about the old ways. I think about, you know, knitting and crocheting and woodworking and so many things that could be done. The ancestry, one of the things that we do have that is being built in our community now is an addition to, a large addition to our library. And one of the plans, of course, is to expand the genealogy and history area of this area, and this is an area I would like to encourage the churches in our community to reach out and begin really working in the music area and into the history of the people that are in their churches. So these are two areas that I would like to see as part of our correcting time, is that we reach out and do that. So one of the areas that is part of the second level is the book that we talked about before, and I talked a lot about it when we were doing it, is the 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life The book is written by Karen Armstrong, A-R-M-S-T-R-O-N-G. Karen is K-A-R-E-N. And we did this 12 Steps to Compassionate Lights, the series, with Reverend Jarman Perkins as the leading of it. And one of his goals, his vision, is to have this course taught in every community college, in every college. And so in the meantime, I would like to see each community doing at least once or twice a year, especially at the churches, this 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. And this is an area where we apply the golden rule. And remember that we call our organization the Golden Rule Ministries. And we are probably going to rename this to the Golden Rule Services as we decide what we would like to incorporate or bring about this next phase of movement away from just being the ministry, because local organizations don't support the ministries as well as they do services. So we're revamping our services under the Youngevity Program, specifically the David Allen Capital area for small businesses, and then helping individuals to develop small businesses for their area. And, of course, we know that the Building Fortunes and the Network Leads are very much a part of this. So I might just mention here one of the projects that we put on our round to it for this this winter is to have a Florida gathering for the snowbirds. You know that a few weeks ago we went to Texas to meet up with Fred Van Loo to learn about muscle testing, and we did a RV caravan with Don and Cheyenne Kramer. And they are headed to Florida the first week, I think, of December. And they are going to be going around the state of Florida planting clubhouses and gathering places for us in Florida. And so we came up with the idea to maybe have a large meetup in Florida or several meetups, because Florida is a long, narrow state, kind of like Indiana, although I think Indiana is longer than what Florida is. But that would give me an opportunity to meet up with Logan, who is down there in Florida, in the panhandle part of Florida, and visit with him, and then visit with a cousin that still lives down there. And, of course, Peter. I'm hoping we're going to be able to call on and meet up with Peter. So we'll be calling on Peter to help to put that together. So if anybody's listening and you live in Florida, maybe you can call us at 812-664-7419 and say, hey, I'd like to have you all stop in our community and have a what we're calling a good old-fashioned tent revival, where we'll get together somewhere, either in a park or a hotel or whatever we decide to do as we go through Florida, and helping the Florida people in Florida to learn how to put together ideal network projects in their area. And, of course, the 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life will be our primary book that we utilize of helping individuals. So if you can go back through it, know all you've got to do is go online and just type in 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. And she does have a website that you can find. Just type in Karen Armstrong and you'll be able to find her group of people that she's put together. Now, remember that many times I repeat things over and over, because sometimes we just have to be reminded of what we are actually doing. And so this is what I do during June, or November and December of each year, is I go back through everything we have done through the past year, and what is it we desire to keep? What were the consequences of our actions? Were they things that we would like to sustain and not keep? So this is what we call the correcting time. It just so happens that because of things that were done in 1913 in America, we have some major corrections that need to be done in order to change. And I think a book such as this 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life will be a great way to use as our guideline. So we only have just 5 minutes left, and I don't know that I have enough time to go through all of the titles, but I will quickly go through the steps here. And these are the titles of the chapters. The step one is to learn about compassion. What is compassion, and what do we mean when we use the word compassion? Step two is look at your own world. You know, what is it that you need to do in your world to correct things that need to be done? The next one is, the third step is compassion for yourself. So you're looking at your own world, and then you're looking at yourself, you know, to know yourself first and what is it that you need and desire. The fourth step is empathy. The fifth step is mindfulness. The sixth step is action. What are the actions and the consequences that go along with those actions? The seventh step is how little we know. And when you begin going through the compassion, the steps, you begin to realize when you get to this seventh step, wow, how little do I really know about what I thought I knew? The eighth step is how should we speak to one another? This is a huge correcting time area where we need to learn how to communicate with grace, elegance, and ease. How to understand each other. And this is an area that we all need, the art of asking questions, the art of communication. The ninth step is concern for everybody. You know, this is, again, that golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if you don't love yourself to start with, you're not going to treat others well. So this is that concern for everybody starts with, first and foremost, loving yourself. The 12th step is knowledge. The 10th step is knowledge. The 11th step is recognition. The 12th step is love your enemies. And that is, again, very, very important for us to love our enemies. We may not like what they do. And this is one of the areas that I often say to my children when we have challenges, you know, there's nothing in the world that you could do to stop me from loving you. But that doesn't mean that I approve or accept what you are doing with your lifestyle at this particular moment. So we need to separate our feelings that often get hurt, that we get misunderstood, something that we say and it gets taken incorrectly. And so they hold grudges, and that's this time of Thanksgiving. We need to go forward and say, if I've harmed you in some way, if I've done something this year, I really would appreciate your forgiveness, and that we can go forward with gratitude that we are alive and still on this planet and can make changes and make corrections in the way that we do things. So somehow, somewhere, let's find a way that we can compare what we accept and what we reject, and why do we compare it? Because this is the easiest way to learn. Compassion often is a very comparative study. And one of the areas that I would like to invite you to study, if you've not studied them, is to meet up with the Amish and the Mormons, is to learn about those two groups of people, mainly because they are the ones that are still very much working around this concept of families. And so we can learn a lot about what they do in order to sustain the ideal family relationships. We may not agree with everything that they do, but they have at least sustained families, where most of America's families are fractured. And and often this time of Thanksgiving becomes a tragedy for some people when they don't have anyone to connect with. So if you are in a situation where you don't have somebody to meet up with, then I suggest that you look around in the community and find out places like the Salvation Army that may be having a meal for the Thanksgiving for those who are disenfranchised, and pitch in and help in some way like that. So as each of the holidays that we go through the this next year of 2020, that you make each holiday something that you're looking around and saying to people, how can I make this a much easier and more enjoyable holiday for you, especially if your family is not in your area, or your family is, you know, maybe you're the last one of the generation. You just never know whether you're the last one of your multi-generations. So work together on multiculturalism and working together with families that are multi-generational. So I see our time's done. Back to you, Peter.
Peter's here. Great information as usual, Darlene. I really appreciate you spending some time just before Thanksgiving, and great stuff. I love to hear what you do with your family. It gives me some great ideas. And we are going to catch everybody next week on the other side of Thanksgiving. So for those people listening in, this is one of the last podcasts you'll probably listen to, or last radio shows you'll probably listen to before Thanksgiving. So if you're celebrating Thanksgiving here, wherever you might be with your family, just enjoy yourself, and we will catch you next time on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.